Track 8. And now we come to letters to the editor, and there are three. The first one is rather lengthy, so it has been edited. It's from Edward Chalton, OBE, of Tynmouth. I was pleased to see Ellen Grindley's recent article on the forthcoming reorganisation of local government here in Devon. It is interesting to note that of the original seven southwest counties, only Devon and Gloucestershire remain two-tier. The unitarisation of councils has been going on for many years under governments of every colour. The debate locally has been very disappointing, with its concentration on combinations of existing districts rather than any analysis of services and costs. In our area, Devon County Council counts for 80% and Teignbridge District Council 10% of rates expenditure. It's difficult to take the Exeter City Council proposal seriously. The government guidance talks about unitaries with a minimum population of 500,000, and yet Exeter's proposal is for a greater Exeter with a population of 256,401. The districts in the rest of the county have looked at combinations of their existing boundaries, including Exeter, East Devon, Mid Devon, Torridge and North Devon on one hand, and Torbay, Teignbridge, South Hams and West Devon on the other. None of these proposals seem to address existing county-level strategic services, with the issue of duplication of chief officers, departments and bureaucracies, and consequential costs without a single member of staff, more at the service delivery level. On the other hand, there will be considerable savings in having only one department dealing with building control, development, management, environmental services, leisure, housing, economy, and so on, rather than eight or nine of each. It is difficult to believe that there are nine different waste collection and recycling services in Devon outside of Plymouth. Meanwhile, Devon County Council has not come to a public view yet. It has reported that it is analysing numerous options before coming to a view. The role of town and county parishes is important in the coming changes, and it is hoped that they will be represented on local bodies, whatever the final shape of local government is in Devon. It is looking unlikely that the 10 councils involved, including Plymouth, will come up with a single model to put to government. It is to be hoped, however, that whatever is proposed is based on service delivery and cost savings rather than a jigsaw variation based on current boundaries.
Simon Honey writes, livelihoods and ecosystems are on the line. Europe is roasting under a heat dome with temperatures up to 42 degrees. A June heatwave killed 2,300 people in 10 days across just 12 European cities. Wildfires rage in Canada, destroying 7 million hectares and polluting air in cities many miles away. UK wildfires have jumped from 69 in early 2024 to 564 in the first half of 2025. The science is clear. Fossil fuels are driving this. The solution is clear too, transition fast to clean energy. Yet Reform UK Nigel Farage calls climate breakdown a hoax and net zero, net stupid zero. In May, he claimed net zero will cost the taxpayer $45 billion a year. However, he used outdated figures. Current estimates are $26 billion a year, with $22 billion from private investors and only $4 billion from public funds. Over 25 years, costs totaled $650 billion, but savings from cheaper operations are expected to be $600 billion. Net zero could virtually break even for taxpayers. Farage left all that out. It was in the report he quoted, but he didn't mention it. Why, I wonder? And especially why no mention of private funding? There's a big difference between $45 billion and $4 billion as an annual cost to the taxpayer. When lives, livelihoods, and ecosystems are on the line, creating false narratives using outdated data with crucial facts missing, all for political advantage, isn't just dishonest, it's dangerous and utterly despicable.
Geoffrey Brooking writes, "Promises made, promises kept. Another week of this Labour government and we have seen even more positive change for the nation. Under the Conservatives, school truancy was out of control. Under Labour, in their first full academic year, there were 5 million more attendances at school. Under the Conservatives, thanks to Liz Truss, interest rates rose and pensions crashed. Under Labour, we have a stable economy and, as a result, have seen 5 interest rate cuts in a row, thus saving mortgage payers £1,000 per year. Promises made, promises kept."